Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You're going to be joined by Preds head coach John Hines coming up at 7:30. The best and worst things in sports coming up at 7:45 as well. So we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, we've asked this question before, but in a much different context. And the question is, sometimes I wonder, like, do people actually watch Ryan Tannehill play football? And I say this because I'm looking around, and we've done this the past couple of years, of where Tannehill played really well in 2019. He played really well in 2020. And people are like, well, Ryan Tannehill, he's not very good. And you're looking around, and you're like, well, look at the numbers. He's been pretty darn good the last couple of years. And I ran across this list last night on NFL.com, and it came from Greg Rosenthal. And it's ranking the 62 starting quarterbacks that started a game in the 2021 NFL season, which, fine, whatever. They've got Ryan Tannehill at number 12, which is, again, okay, fine. You've got him at number 12. The description has me raising both of my eyebrows. It says this, quote, Tannehill's divisional round performance wasn't quite as bad as I remembered upon rewatching, but it did sour an otherwise rock-solid season. He held the ball too long and threw late after staring down a receiver on his last interception, a shortcoming that has plagued him throughout his career. It doesn't surprise me that the Titans are standing strong behind him as their starter. Even if there are limitations, Tannehill made his teammates better this year, especially one of the worst pass-blocking offensive lines in football. This is coming from Greg Rosenthal on NFL.com. So after rewatching, the divisional round performance wasn't quite as bad as I remembered upon rewatching. It soured an otherwise rock-solid season, and even if there are limitations, Tannehill made his teammates better this year. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, that might be a little bit sunshiny. Does that mean that Greg Rosenthal is part of the Tannehill boohoo crew?
I think it might. I think you might need to get a T-shirt.
Might be an officer in the Tannehill boohoo crew.
He could be.
Well, it was, okay, so let's see. It wasn't quite as bad as I remembered. Yeah, so, you know, Tannehill had some good stretches that game. Nice TD pass, A.J. Brown. Kind of rebounded from the early mistakes, but, I mean, it's in the end, it's three picks. I mean, those plays, which are the three plays that will get replayed 10 million times versus everything else, haven't changed, I don't think. So, I don't know, man. I think it was pretty bad. It doesn't surprise me. Even if there are limitations, made his teammates better this year. Yeah, I don't know about that either.
I mean, didn't we spend most of the season talking about how Tannehill's not really elevating his teammates?
Yeah, and when they obviously needed more from him. Now, I agree with one of the worst pass-blocking offensive lines in football.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's an accurate assessment of what was in front of him, which, interesting enough, of course, that got better, I think, later, too, by the way. But, yeah, that's a little – I mean, I'm looking at these rankings – so the guy right behind Tannehill, Kirk Cousins. Everyone knows I'm biased toward Kirk Cousins, but
look at the numbers.
I've never thought Kirk Cousins, you know, I don't think he's elite. I think he's a very good quarterback. Cousins has 33 TD passes, 7 picks this year, 4,200 yards, 7.5 an attempt. And then you got Tannehill, 39-54, 22 TDs, 17 picks, 7.1 an attempt. I just, like, how would Ryan Tannehill rank ahead of Kirk Cousins this year?
I don't know.
Again, I don't think Cousins is elite or great. He's good. He's very good at times. And so is Tannehill, or has been, but he wasn't this year. So, Greg Rosenthal, welcome to the boohoo crew.
Yeah. I just...
That's a great term.
This is just yet another reminder. Like, local people. Get your information from local people. That's all I have to say about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it wasn't even just like people ignoring the numbers last couple of years. It was like, okay, clearly you're not watching.
Watch the guy play,
right? Yeah, and there's a lot more of that with, like, say, the Titans than there are other teams.
I don't know how you could go back and watch the divisional round performance and be like, well, you know, wasn't that bad? Not bad, from Ryan Tannehill. It did sour an otherwise rock solid season. Like, look. I'm not going to sit here and act like Tannehill was just awful all season long, because I think some people have kind of taken that leap to where he just was terrible for the entire season for the Titans. He had some good moments. He played well in some games.
Absolutely.
And so it wasn't just straight terrible the whole year. I don't know that I would call his season rock solid either when you've thrown 14 interceptions in the regular season and 17 total.
Is that right that the 17 is...
17 is including the...
The 17 division. Is including the postseason?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think Rock Solid's a little bit strong. It's interesting looking at Tannehill's rankings. You know, in 2018, he's 30th.
Yeah.
You know, last year with the Dolphins, and yeah, he was hurt a lot of that year and stuff like that too, but 30th. In the years before, 24th, 26th. But then the first 2 years with the Titans, 7th, 8th, you know. So, Greg Rosenthal. I think Greg Rosenthal was accurate on Tannehill before this year then.
A long-time member of the Tannehill Boohoo crew.
Yeah, but again, that's about where he was. That was fine. That was good and probably higher than most people had him, which made Greg Rosenthal a better analyst of this. But, yeah, he's a little bit too forgiving there on this one. Rock Solid is a little bit strong.
Lamar Jackson coming at 14 on this list. Now, obviously, he was injured for a good bit of the year as well. Matt Ryan at 15. So, for the Matt Ryan lovers out there, a little bit behind Tannehill, Greg Rosenthal's rankings.
How about that?
Russell Wilson just before him at number 11.
By the way, if we're going to go by these rankings, so on the ongoing and destined to be years-long debate about Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
Number five.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Are you a top five guy? According to these, let's see. Brady, Rodgers, Allen, Herbert, then Stafford. Where the heck is Mahomes? Then Burrow Mahomes.
Mahomes is 7. They got Herbert at 4. Now, he did throw for 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns this year. I don't know that I'd have him at number 4.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a team that didn't make the playoffs, but, man –
He's
will
pretty
say
darn
that,
good.
Yeah, like that Raiders game.
But are you putting Herbert over Burrow? I'm not putting Herbert over Burrow.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, but, you know, let's see. Burrow, 5,739 and 16. Herbert, 5,038 and 15. Yeah, probably not. But I'm just saying, Matt Stafford, 6,074 passing yards, 50.
I just love how he's combined the regular season and playoff stats. He's like, we're putting everything into one pile here.
Yeah. Well, it's like Cooper Kupp's got 2,500 freaking yards, man. But I'm just saying, Matthew Stafford, if he has some more years
Greg Rosenthal has lifted him over the top into the Hall of Fame.
Greg Rosenthal, put the jacket on him yourself, Greg. No, but this, if he's in that range now for the next few years with the Rams, then that argument against him goes away. Just that's all I'm saying. He's got work to do.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where Lamar Jackson is on this list next year. It's because Scott stay healthy,
big
right?
Year. Big year for Lamar. Big year for him and them. That's a team that, you know, when we went through, like, the Super Bowl odds and stuff like that, that's a team that, you know, you could see – totally having a turnaround. Do they just have the health luck that they didn't have last year? Is it just completely go 180 for them? I mean, he's still a really good player.
He is. By the way, Taysom Hill, number 30 on the list, just ahead of Davis Mills and Trevor Lawrence. What do you think about putting Taysom Hill ahead of our buddy Davis Mills down there?
Well, you know, he did barely pass for more yards than he ran for, so congratulations, Taysom. He only had, you know, one more pick than touchdown pass.
That's what, like, everybody.
Four touchdowns, five picks.
Everybody keeps talking about, like, the Saints being in on a quarterback this offseason. Like, where's this money coming from? There's $70 million in the hole right now over the cap. Where's this money coming from to go get a quarterback?
I don't know. And why did they give Taysom Hill money?
I don't know.
I mean, other than, like, good H-back money, I don't get it.
Can't believe Sean Payton left that situation. He's looking around like, oh, wow.
He's like, you know what? Kevin James plays me in a movie. I think this is time.
Kevin James plays me a movie, and Taysom Hill is my starting quarterback right now.
Yeah.
Time to get out.
Go get some gumbo. So Davis Mills edges out Trevor Lawrence too, by the way. Who would have picked that going into last year?
Yeah. Stretches out the lead on Trevor Lawrence. Just barely.
That's right.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Big week ahead for the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Well, CCR bringing us back in here.
Say, and you knew this.
Oh, yeah, I knew Michelle this song. Knows. I know this song.
Bringing people together.
Yep. We've opened the CCR Pandora's box. But it's good. It's not bad stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff that comes out of it.
It is good stuff.
Have you heard other songs?
It's the only one I looked up. I did Greatest Hits, and this was the first one. And I didn't recognize it at first. Then it was like, have you ever seen? And I was like, oh, I know. Okay. I got it.
By the way, Chase McCabe on his way down to Daytona.
So yeah.
Chase McCabe going to have some coverage down from the Daytona 500 this week. He's just tweeted, I just stopped at Bucky's. I could actually live here. Holy cow. You ever been to a Bucky's gas station?
I don't know.
I hear people are like crazy obsessed with them. I've never heard of them until I was here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
They're all over Texas. Okay. I've been to many in Texas.
Bucky's.
There's
so
I think there's one here in Crossville. It's huge. Yeah. It's got gas and everything in there.
So probably like the gas stations that are almost like a department store.
Yeah.
You buy
good
a
food.
Bunch of stuffed animals and stuff. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Probably. Yeah.
Those are good.
Showers.
Okay. Showers.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. You get the whole thing. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Be careful, Chase.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Scheduled to be joined by Preds head coach John Hines. Almost said Matt Hines. Don't know who that is. John Hines coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation. I was looking at Matt Duchesne's numbers. That's why I said that, I guess.
Sure, Matt Hines is a nice person.
Matt Hines, real great guy. Big week for the Preds. I watched Florida and Carolina play last night. Those are two pretty high-level teams that were out there on the ice last night. Preds take on Carolina coming up on Friday. They'll be at Florida next week. You know, this is a big stretch for them in terms of you got to find a way to get some points, get back on the winning side of things. Yossi, I thought, responded a little bit better the other night against Washington. I didn't think the two games before that he was all that good with his decision-making. I think he's gotten a little bit better in the Washington game. This is an interesting stretch for them because you're looking at the standings right now. They're right in that wild card spot, and you don't want to let things get away from you too quickly. Now, they did get a little bit of help last night, depending on how you look at it. Winnipeg takes down Minnesota in regulation, so that allows Winnipeg to move within 10 points of you with two games in hand. That also keeps Minnesota from advancing further ahead of you. So I guess you could look at that either way if you're a Predators fan. Like, at this point, are you rooting for the teams in front of you to lose more than you're rooting for the teams behind you to stay away from you? I'm interested to see how Predators fans view that. I would probably do the latter.
I would advise to root against the teams behind you. Yeah, sure. It'd be great to be the two and to get home ice in a first-round series. I'm not sure how realistic that is at this point. There's a lot of hockey to be played, but there's also a lot of hockey to be played the other way, potentially. So I would say you want to be safely in, and if you're if you are a wild card team and you got to play on the other side, great. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not what you're trying to reach for, but it could be okay.
Could be okay. Chase McCabe texting in. I love Matt Hines, but have you ever been to Bucky's? Wow. This coming in from Chase McCabe. Chase having a good time out there on the road.
Chase, you got to keep driving, man.
You have to leave the Bucky's
at some point. Yeah, leave the Bucky's. Get what you need.
Chase will be broadcasting from Bucky's somewhere in Georgia.
Excuse me. I didn't quite make it to Daytona. Here I am.
The mark of a great gas station to me is they have black licorice. It's very hard to find.
I can't say I've ever had it.
What?
I've never had black licorice.
It is disgusting.
Wow.
Have you ever had black jelly bean?
No. It's not my thing.
But how do you know if you've never had it?
I can tell it's not my thing.
You know, Robbie. You know.
Okay. I don't even know what to do with that. I eat black licorice, like good, fresh black licorice, by the pound. Oh, it's amazing.
Really?
Yes. It's well known.
You ever had the corned beef hash black licorice combo? Is that pretty good?
I would eat corned beef hash, and then for dessert, I would have black licorice.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever done that, but I would.
I'm feeling better about my banana pudding take by the day when I hear you list off foods.
Have you even tried it? You might think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Or you might think it's the worst.
I mean, I know a lot of people who don't like it. I'll grant you that. But if you like it, you really like it.
I'll take your word for it.
My dad on long trips, he would buy, and we'd be the only two, and the car would smell like black licorice. Everybody else would be mad. We'd crush that stuff. Amazing.
Who's the most important, outside of UC Soros and outside of Roman Yossi, obviously, two guys that we know what their value is, your X factor for the Predators coming down the stretch, the guy that you're paying attention to the most. Either you can take that any way you want to take it, either to keep playing the way that he is, or maybe somebody that you think needs to hit a new level as they come down the stretch here. Who stands out in that regard?
There's a lot of possibilities. I think there's a lot of guys who can play better. I'd go Tolvanen. I just think of the people on this team who have more to give, I've got to put him right near the top of the list. You know, I feel like he has – I mean, I feel like he's got a hot streak in him, or this team needs to hope he does. You know, a month of, like think back to last year. However long that heater lasted, it wasn't just like a week or two. They need that back, They need so that, the second power play unit has some teeth to it, and he gets some opportunities there. But just, he's just got to use that shot and – they got to figure out ways to put him in position, too. I feel like he's kind of solidified himself as a player in this league. Good for him, because that was no sure thing a couple years ago.
Sure.
But that would be, I think, a big deal for this team to have another guy who's really a threat nightly offensively, and rather than having to lean on the same guys who have had great seasons. But really, it's two lines and really one that you're consistently expecting offense from.
I'm really interested to see how Tomasino handles things coming down the stretch, because I feel like he's had his moments this year where he's played really well. And for a stretch there, it kind of felt like once a game he had a chance where you're like, okay, there's a pretty good look for Tomasino. You're about to see a whole lot of games come in very quickly, and you're going to have to be – I think ready to play more of a playoff style of game. And I just don't know that he's big enough right now. It's very similar to me, even though they're different players. It's similar to me when Forsberg first came in the league of, all right, you can see the ability, you can see the hands, and I think more specifically in Tomasino's case, you can see the vision and the speed. I think he's got those two things that stand out to me. He's very good at recognizing where to go with the puck. And his foot speed is there, like it's NHL ready. I just think he's gonna have a tough time hanging on to the puck based on the way that the style is about to go. Now you don't necessarily have to be the biggest guy to overcome that, but I think the wall play, especially when you're playing on the fourth line like he is right now, like you're gonna be asked to do a lot of things on the wall. You got to be able to dig the puck out of there, and this is gonna be a big test for him as the space gets a little tighter out there when the playoffs get closer. I'm interested to see how he responds to that.
So you think Tomasino and Tolvanen better together or split?
I think they're better split. The one hesitation I would have to that is if you just say, all right, we're not adding anything at the deadline in terms of a top six forward, and we're going all in with what you have. I don't know that I wouldn't object to seeing them two together with Johansson for like a five-game stretch and just seeing what you got right there.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, no disrespect to Nick Cousins or, anybody that they've tried to put up there with him, Johansson needs some scoring touch with him. And right now he just doesn't have it. Luke Cunningham, I think, is another guy you could throw in this. He scored 10 goals. He started to come on a little bit as of late, but, 18 points, 49 games for a guy that's been playing a lot on the first line or the – I guess what would be technically the second line now, you need more than that.
Yeah, no question. And that's a big, you know what you're going to get. The herd line's going to give you some offense. They're going to be a really important part of what you're doing,
Yeah.
And whether they give you an offense on a particular night or not, but they're going to give you enough. It's been pretty steady.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to count on the Grandland line to just keep whatever that line's going to be called. Still got to figure that out. Keep trucking. But it is. I feel like at least one of those three guys we mentioned, and of course, preferably for the Preds, all of them have to do more.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, black licorice is disgusting. It's a cross between flat root beer and expired cough syrup. It's coming from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Yeah, you're blocked.
The cough syrup, though, part is pretty accurate. Yeah.
I mean, I get the root beer part. I kind of get the continent. What? No.
Josh texting in says, Rex Road, too much black licorice can kill you. Scientific fact. This is coming from Josh on the text line. I'm just reporting what's being told to me. I have no clue.
See, now I got to Google it.
Do not scare Joe.
Don't freak me out. Well, here's the thing. I can never find it.
So you don't have too much. You're good.
Honestly, like just about every Christmas, like Katie gets me like this Australian black licorice. God, it's so good.
Is it legal here?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Importing goods?
Weed licorice? I don't know.
LD from McMinnville texting in, Rex Road likes black licorice. It all makes sense now. Soulless. This coming from LD from McMinnville.
All right, you're soulless. Come on. There's got to be someone who's on my team here.
I've not seen anyone on the text line as of yet. I do selectively read sometimes.
Bunch of heathens on the text line.
But I've not seen any as of yet. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this rainy Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, John, obviously you guys in a little bit of an adversity streak right now with losing three games in a row. But overall, as you watch your team play in the process, what do you think? Where do you think you guys are right now?
Well, you know, coming out of the All-Star break, one of the things we talked to with our team about was getting back to the identity we want to play with and icing a game night in and night out that we feel gives us the best chance to win regardless of who we play. And we got to recapture that, you know, as quick as we can. And I think each game it's gotten better. You know, I think in the Dallas game, we were a little bit loose with our checking up ice and gave up some, you know, some odd man rushes and areas that we're usually strong in. I thought we were a bit better against Winnipeg. I really liked our game against Washington. I think when you look at, you know, the style of game and a lot of the metrics that allow you to win, are you being able to control the game and control the things that we can control? Can we control the shot clock? Can we control territory and offensive zone time with how we play? Can we control the scoring chance for and against battle? And I think in those components, we did that. So we are in a little bit of adversity. I think it's the first time we have lost three straight. But as you go through 82 games, you know, this is something you're going to go through at some point. And I think the way you handle adversity and work your way out of adversity, that's when your team becomes, you know, it's a challenge we're in, but I also think it builds your team mentally tougher, physically tougher, and make sure we can come out of this the right way. And it's going to start with how we play. Ice in the game that gives us the best chance to win consistently.
So, John, after the Winnipeg game, of course, you talked quite a bit about the penalties, trying to cut down on those. What has the process been like to emphasize that, to talk about that? And do you feel like, you know, the last game was sort of a step in the right direction and that you've got some things figured out there?
You know, one of the things that, again, Joe, we talked to the guys about, I mean, the players are very aware of it. You know, it's not a situation where, you know, they're, you know, abdicating responsibility on the penalties. It's can we do a better job controlling the ones that we can? So stick penalties, you know, hooks, trips, holds, those style of penalties. And what we've done is we've gone through and, you know, we clip the penalties and we'll just bring them in and show some quick hits on, you know, this is, maybe we come over the top of a stick when we can just go like blade to blade on the ice as opposed to coming over top of a stick. Maybe we're back checking a player and we kind of reach into the hands. It's not an egregious penalty, but we're reaching into the hands and that gives the ref the opportunity to call a slash or a hook or something like that where we can keep our sticks on the ice and be a little bit more diligent in those areas. And I do think we did a, a, a better job of it. And I do believe with our group and with the amount of, you know, attention that, you know, they know that they, it needs to get better. We're working with them as coaches to be able to understand how we can do those things better. We will, this is one of those stages again, that this is an issue, no different than sometimes when there's, you know, system breakdowns or your power play is not working as well. How, what are some small tweaks we can do to get that rectified? Players are on board with it. They want to be better. We're coaching them up on it, and I'm confident that we'll get out of this the right way.
John, what do you make of kind of this stretch right now in terms of the schedule? Obviously, I mean, Carolina coming up on Friday, Florida next week, two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, but you also have some significant practice time available to you right now that probably not going to have in March and April. Like, how do you guys try to go about managing that part of it as you look ahead to this next week or so?
Well, we're trying to make sure that we have a balance in it. You know, one, I think with the upcoming schedule, I think it's great for us. You know, it's a challenge we're in right now, and if we're going to be a team that's going to play well down the stretch and earn ourselves a playoff spot, and not just earn ourselves a playoff spot, but win in the playoffs, you have to be tough. Like, you have to be mentally tough, physically tough. You got to build your game the right way. You've got to play your best against the best, and we have some real strong opponents, top of the league type of opponents coming up. You know, Dallas is playing really well, so I think it's a great challenge for us to be able to stay with it, build our game, find ways to win some games here, and how we come out of that. I think we're going to be a better team from that. And you know, we're trying to balance using some of this time to have some mental freshness and some rest. But as you said, you know, we do have, you know, this month we have 7 real quality days of practice. Where when you look at March, it probably drops down to 2.
Yep.
So we're trying to utilize it the right way.
Yeah, and of course with the schedule now, you've also, you know, with UC Soros, you have the luxury, of course. I mean, he's able to get enough rest. You know what's coming. How do you view that in terms of his readiness for that stretch? Do you feel like you've got to try to, you know, prepare for that, give him more rest, or do you feel like you can just plunge right in there and he's going to be fine? Like, how do you view that and the usage of, you know, a backup goaltender?
Yeah, you know, I think at this point in the season, I think that this month has set up pretty good for Juice. You know, we're going to give David some opportunities to play here, maybe one of the next 2 games. And then I think going into March, you know, we have more back-to-backs and we have situations where, you know, you certainly need to be able to utilize David Rittich, give Juice some days off, some nights off. You know, I do think as we've looked through the schedule, there's some good sequences too where, you know, maybe we give, you know, David's going to play a game, and then the next time we don't play is, say, for 2 to 3 days. So that would give Juice, you know, probably an opportunity for 2 or 3 days, you know, mental rest, some physical rest to get him ready. I also think what's important and what's good for Juice here down the stretch is we would like to get him some quality, you know, some quality practice time, because he's such a technique-driven goalie that sometimes when you're playing and playing and playing, usually your practice time is kind of just feeling shots and feeling good, but you're kind of saving yourself for the game. So I think we have a really good plan to utilize David more, find some good opportunities to give Juice an opportunity to freshen up or just tweak his game a little bit, and we're going to need both guys coming down the stretch, and that's what our plan is.
Preds head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, what did it mean for your group to see Mark Borowiecki sign to a 1-year contract extension? Obviously a guy that is very popular in your locker room.
Yeah, you know, it's great. One, I think when we signed Mark and we made some changes to our team over the last couple of years, we were getting, you know, we wanted to have a little bit more bite in our game, you know, a little bit more size at different positions. But I think also it's, you know, you are getting the players, and Mark certainly fits. When you look at the dynamics of a team and different skill sets and different things that you need, you know, for his role, he's a big, hard, strong, physical defenseman, sticks up for his teammates. You know, he plays such a selfless game. He inspires his teammates with his shot blocks and hits and just the effort that he puts in. Really, for a veteran player, accepts his role, understands what his ice time is going to be, maximizes his potential, you know, in those situations. That's a key part of having a close-knit group and a strong team, and he certainly brings all those things to the table. And then also, I think when you bring players into your organization, you're not just getting the guy on the ice; you're getting the personality, the human being. You're also getting his family, and he's a top-notch person. You know, high character, great person, good family guy. His wife's great. He's having to have those types of people in and around your wise room and all those dynamics, you know, I think that we think are really important in having a strong culture on and off the ice.
John, how do you think Philip Tomasino is doing here in this, you know, this first taste of a full NHL season? And what do you think, what would you like to see from him here down the stretch?
Well, I think Philip's done a good job of, you know, adjusting. I think we've moved him around in different situations throughout the year. You know, one of the things for a young player is I think when you watch him play, you see his offensive talent and his offensive instincts. I think there's been a little bit of a roller coaster at times where he gets chances, and a player like him that's used to scoring and doesn't score realizes. So I think he's realizing all those things that a young player realizes when they get to this level of, you know, how consistent you have to be, practice days, game days. He's got great talent. We think that he's really fit into, he's playing on our second power play. He looks good there. I think his 5-on-5 game, he does have the ability to generate some chances. What he's really learned, I think, is his play away from the puck, you know, how he checks and defends and how he forechecks, all those things that allow you as a young player to be an impact. If you don't score, how else do you help the team win? And he's really receptive to it, very coachable. And, you know, he's going to get some different opportunities and see if we can keep growing his game here down the stretch, and hopefully he can be an impact guy for us.
John, obviously you guys have some business to take care of in the meantime, going to Carolina and then Florida as well, but some big moments coming up for the franchise over the course of the next week or so, with Pekka getting his jersey retired a week from today, and then, of course, the outdoor game at Nissan Stadium as well. Just as a coach, your excitement level for watching the two of those things, and particularly with Pekka and his jersey retirement, what do you think that moment's going to mean both for him and for the franchise as well?
Well, I think it's going to be really special, and you know, I've been privy to some of the events that are going to go on, and what's, you know, how Pekka is going to be recognized and things like that. I mean, he's the all-time great franchise player, not only goalie, but I think player, and I think you could probably throw in person. It's just the way that I think he's dealt with, you know, obviously with you guys dealing with him, having the opportunity to coach him, and really when I came in, coach him at, you know, kind of a transitioning part of his career, how a guy like him, you know, handled that with the team, with Juice, myself, the coaches, David. I mean, I don't think it could have been, you know, there's a lot of coaches that have gone through harder transitions, probably because of the players, but, you know, the way that he handled himself was unbelievable through this whole transition. And so I think it's everything that he's going to get honored with is going to be special. I think it's going to be really special to the players, particularly the guys that have played with him for a long time. And, you know, really excited. I mean, he's such a great player in person that just to be part of it and have the opportunity to be around it, see him get recognized and celebrated with him, I think it'd be real special.
Hugely important question here for you, John. Black licorice, yay or nay?
I like black licorice.
Yes. Apparently it's dangerous, though. I'm Googling a lot of things. People are telling me it's banned in some states. Apparently there is some danger in black licorice. But thank you for validating me on the black licorice. Yeah. So
Joe, here's what I'm gonna do. There's like a black licorice in Finland. It's called salmiakki. It is unbelievable. And Juice actually brought me back a pack when his family came, so I'm gonna get you a pack of that.
Oh, you want the best black licorice
type you can. It's gonna come from Finland.
Oh,
that little menthol in there, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's great.
Have you had the Australian kind?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Wow. That's outstanding. I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, Joe's not going to be able to focus the rest of the show. It's going to be awesome. Really good stuff. John Einsprint's coach has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. John, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. How about that? Bet you didn't think that was going to happen.
Finnish black
licorice. You're so happy. You're so happy right now. I love it.
I mean,
Rex Rhodes' face. He's like, really? From Finland?
Oh my goodness. That sounds awesome. I mean, the Australian is, I mean, if it beats the Australian kind of black licorice, which hopefully it doesn't have all these chemicals that are killing people left and right, apparently, which I didn't know about, then I'm excited even more.
When we come back, it is time for the best and worst things in sports for the week. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jason in Clarksville texting in says, the best thing in sports, John Hines offering to bring Joe finished black licorice. It's coming from Jason in Clarksville.
At some point in the show, I'm going to – who was it that told us it's banned in some states?
Josh, I think.
Yeah, I've been Googling. I've gone down the rabbit hole. You know, it's like when you have a little bit of like a, you know, like a pain in your stomach or something, and yeah. You start Googling it, and you decide that you're going to die within the hour.
The nice WebMD, yeah.
Yeah. There's some troubling stuff about black licorice out there. I'm going to press forward, and I'm proud that UC Saros and John Hines are part of the Black Licorice Boohoo crew with me.
Joe Rexrode, your best and worst things in sports for this week.
So, I do... probably do this too often, but I'm going with a good and a bad and the same thing kind of.
Okay.
Well, the best thing to me was the Matthew Stafford aspect of the Super Bowl. There are a lot of great things about the Super Bowl, but I think the best thing to me was that it frankly kind of confirmed what I thought was true for a long time, which is that he's really good and that he's underrated and that people are they're misjudging him because of the crap franchise he quarterbacked for so long. So to see him not only make the plays on that winning drive in the Super Bowl, but throughout the playoffs, big, big moments. That was pretty awesome. And, yes, the Detroit Rams shirts are a little too far. But, you know, for people who are the poor, unwashed Lions fans, masses who should just do something else with their lives, they should feel good. They have a right to feel good for him.
Do we think it's time to maybe induct you into the Stafford Boohoo crew? Is this
might be.
Yes.
Could this be time to do that?
Except here's my worst thing in sports.
Okay.
If anybody has seen the video, it's out there. The Rams parade.
Oh,
so
boy.
First of all, Stafford got pretty hammered, and then Tom Brady tweeted at him like, mix in a water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah. But the worst part is, so Matthew Stafford and his wife are on the stage, and there's a photographer taking pictures of her, and then she falls. I retweeted this, okay? She falls off the stage, and Stafford says, whoa, and just turns around
just
and walks away.
Just walks
and
off.
And his wife is like, oh, my God, what is going on? And she goes to, like, look at what happened. Like, he's like, ooh, and then just walks away. Like, dude, what?
I did not see this.
Oh, yeah. Look at my retweet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My retweet is up from the photographer. Her name is Kelly Smiley. She's a photo editor at the NFL, NBA, and NHL. Instagram, at Kelly Smiley Photo. Her tweet was, in response to the video, unfortunately, I fractured my spine.
That's not good. That is not good.
Oh, the photographer fell, not the wife.
Oh, no.
Right. The photographer fell, and his wife went and said, oh, my God, you okay? Stafford's like, later, bro.
What are you...
Jeez. So, great
just
job, Stafford.
Right around.
Yep, sitting here
off.
Trying to talk you up for the Hall of Fame, and you're just, you know, meh.
She'll be all right.
Later, yeah.
Get
hey, Kelly, go deal with that, will you? Thanks. Okay, there you go.
Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst thing in sports.
So I'm going to start with worst, so
okay.
Then we can end on a good note. So worst, I think, Joe, you had talked about this a little bit earlier in the week about the Russian figure skater who tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, but was still able to compete in the Olympics.
Yep.
So a lot is coming out now about Sha'Carri Richardson, who is a track star. She tested positive for marijuana numerous months ago now, but she actually was dropped from Team USA in the relay. So a lot is coming out on social media right now how there's kind of a double standard, how this Russian athlete was able to actually compete in the Olympics, even though she tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, whereas Sha'Carri Richardson tested positive for marijuana, which is legal in so many states.
Right. And it's not performance-enhancing.
No, exactly.
Unless you're trying to have it in a burrito-eating contest. Right.
Exactly. And she's arguably one of the best track stars in the U.S., female track stars in the USA, and she got cut from the relay team. So that's just really disappointing, but it's good that she's, you know, just making it aware, like, hey, why is this happening? Why wasn't I able to compete?
I, for one, am shocked that the IOC has screwed something up. Shocked.
I mean, shocked, right?
And then, so no one can get a medal if she medals. It's their completely a joke.
Doing a great job.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, just completely a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Okay, now my best in sports. This actually happened last night. Chicago Bulls, DeMar DeRozan. I mentioned him the other day when we were talking about the East. He actually just beat Wilt Chamberlain's record for his seventh straight game with 35 points or more. Pretty incredible. One game he had 40 points, didn't hit one three-pointer. This guy is performing at such an elite level in the MVP conversation. And also, if you've never watched him play in a game, whenever he goes to the foul line and it's a home game, they show his family and his little two daughters. When he's shooting the foul shot, the little daughters pretend like they're dribbling the ball, and then they like shoot the foul shot. It's adorable. Love watching him play, and it's my best in sports.
It's kind of amazing. Like, he's always been a good player.
Yeah.
This is like, his career average is about 20 points, about 4 assists per game. He's at 28 this year, 5 assists per game. He is.
Check out just his fourth quarter stats, too. Yeah.
He's playing pretty well. And the no three thing, like Nate Oates is like,
can't do that.
You couldn't play in my program.
Nate Oates doing pretty great right now.
That's right. All right, my best thing in sports, we're going to need some audio for this one. Mike Leach, head coach at Mississippi State, has found his way onto Cameo. So he's now joined Jared Stillman on Cameo.
And Mike Vrabel.
And there's one that got put out there the other day that is just amazing. Here's what Mike Leach had to say on his Cameo the other day.
Hey, Podoloff, this is Mike Leach reaching out from Aaron. Hey, he just wants me to reinforce a few points with you. The SEC isn't scared of a team that goes 5-7 in the Big 12. And then the other thing, I hear Texas loses every game that you attend, so I assume you were there in 2008 where Crabtree made the catch when Texas Tech played number one Texas. And the other, maybe you should skip the Kansas game this year so Texas can go to a bowl. Okay, and I'll tell you, just as a personal favor, Texas moves into the SEC, I want to personally invite you to attend every game that Mississippi State plays Texas in, because I don't want to take any chances with this. So, hey, you could personally at my invitation, come attend every game that Texas plays Mississippi State in, because listen, we need your help, we want your help, and listen, and you've got the magic touch. Anybody that does 100%, Texas loses every time you attend. Hey, we need you there. Look, we got hot dogs, we got popcorn, we can get you to the beverage section, whatever you need. Anyway, Podoloff, hail State.
That was Mike Leach on Cameo.
Mike Leach eating too much black licorice lately.
Oh, I love that man so much. It's amazing. Just get on down here. Look, if Texas is in the SEC, bring it on, man. We'll get you the beverage section, some hot dogs, whatever you need.
Mike Leach on Cameo is a very good thing.
Yes, it is.
You also need to look at the video, too, because he's trying. It looks like he's trying to read something,
oh, yeah,
too.
For sure.
And he's very confused and doesn't really know what he's saying.
It's amazing.
Yeah, let me repeat myself for a third time.
Yeah. Anytime Mike Leach speaks,
people
interesting stuff.
Yeah. Noise comes out.
Yes. My worst thing in sports, Major League Baseball. They were supposed to, pitchers and catchers supposed to report the other day, and it doesn't look like they're much closer now than they were this time 2 months ago to come into a labor agreement deal. So who knows when or if we'll see baseball this year.
Yep. This is a strong candidate, you know, to be in this segment many times.
Many
here.
Times.
Yeah. To me, it's like if they can get 100 games in, I'd say that's a win at this point.
Nate texting in says, best thing in sports this week is Michelle wearing Vols gear today.
That's also my worst. Also my worst is somebody tweeting, what's a blue blood, and it's an Auburn in Tennessee thing. No.
Yeah, taking down Kentucky?
You're not a part of the blue blood club.
just throwing that out there.
You retweet this? You retweet any
more? I did, actually retweet
whiny
it.
Whiny Kentucky fans. Look, it wasn't a foul. I see all these Kentucky fans like talking about the rest. Dude, you were down like 22 in this game. Get a hold of your people, Michelle.
At least we weren't down 28. That would stink.
Is that a shot at Tennessee for losing to Kentucky?
By 28.
By 28?
Oh, I get it.
That's bold. 2 days after they got spanked. Yeah. Top bowling arena.
Also, side note.
The good old days.
Side note, my grandma texts me. She loves black licorice and black jelly beans.
Okay. All right.
I love it.
Rex Road getting more support by the second.
Well, Pete Weber texted me the finish. Pete Weber texted me the finish black licorice thing.
Yeah.
So very finish black at licorice.com. Someone else is tweeting that. So we've got a Boohoo crew getting together here.
We do. Apparently John Hines and UC Soros are part of this crew. So
like, I really want to try this finish black licorice.
When we come back, we'll be joined by David Ubben from The Athletic. He's written.
He done wrote
a very interesting piece at The Athletic about NIL and how that could affect the Tennessee Vols and really the entire country as they move forward here. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.